I want you to understand, and I'll give you a brief review, the origin of disease, because that's the foundation of today's lesson. When Adam was created in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam a command. And he told him, in the day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. He said, do not eat of that tree, and in the day you eat, you will die. Now, Adam lived 930 years, so it's somewhat of a mystery to us what God meant. Unless we understand there are different kinds of death. The word death simply means to be separated from God. Spiritual death, separated from your body, physical death. And eternal death, separated from eternity with God. So God was obviously talking about spiritual death. In the day you eat, the very day you eat. But Adam didn't die physically that day, so we can eliminate physical death. Now sin, Adam's sin, brought spiritual death, separation from God, into our world, for all have sinned. Everybody follows in Adam's footsteps, so you don't have to throw too many stones at Adam. Spiritual death brought physical death into our world. And what is the normal ally of physical death? It's disease and sickness. And so it's like throwing a rock in a pond, it ripples. When God appeared to Adam and Adam was hiding because death separates us, spiritual death separated him from God, separated his fellowship from God, and he was hiding, and God said, where are you? Not that God didn't know where he was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. And then God gave some judgments, one on the serpent, one on the woman, which in future days we'll come back to. I want you to see some things there that are very interesting. And then he told Adam, the ground would be cursed for your sake. You'll have to toil or labor all the days of your life to make a living. That's the beginning of poverty, the beginning of lack. And he said, dust you are, and to dust you will return. There was no physical death in the garden until sin. There was no disease in the garden until sin. Now, that's really easy to figure out. If you read Genesis chapter 1, the third day, God looked around, he said, this is good. And the fourth day, he looked around, he said, well, this is good. And the fifth day, he looked around, he said, this is good. And the sixth day, he looked around, he said, this is good. And I'm absolutely convinced if there had been any sickness and disease there, he would have said, this is almost good, could have been good. I meant it to be good. And then he looked around, went to the office, he says, this is very good. Very good. But sin opened the door. Now, if sin opened the door to disease, and it did, then the remedy for sin has to be the remedy for disease. Now, we go over to the testimony of Jesus when he was bringing healing to the woman who'd been bent over for 18 years. He said, and I ought not this woman, that's in Luke chapter 13, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound. Satan bound. So sin, which is of Satan, Satan was in that garden bringing temptation, that Eve fell to the temptation, and Adam chose to come into agreement with Eve. He was not deceived, but she was deceived. We have that information in the New Testament. Then spiritual death, separation from God, came. And as a result of that, physical death came. And physical death is accompanied by disease so many times over and over again. And Jesus said, whom Satan hath bound. Now, the rumor in the church is that God makes people sick, but you will not find that in the Scripture. It's not in there. Now we go further, we have the testimony of Peter in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of the devil, not oppressed of God, oppressed of the devil. So we have three references, and in the Scripture says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word can be established. We have Peter's witness, we have the words of Jesus himself, and we have the witness of Genesis chapters 1, 2, and 3, that the origin of sickness and disease was found in sin, in Adam's sin. Now, if the origin is found in sin, then the remedy for sin has to be the remedy for disease. That's what I want to prove to you today. Now, look at Exodus chapter 12. I want us to look at the witness of the Scripture from Exodus all the way through to 1 Peter and show you the remedy. There's only one remedy for the plight of man, for those things that harass, torment, and overpower man. There's only one remedy. You're going to see two things in Exodus chapter 12. God is using Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. They had been in Egypt for over 400 years and were in bondage. Now, the record of Exodus chapter 1 is that they had been oppressed, that they were carrying heavy burdens. When Moses went to the Pharaoh and said, let the people go, we want to go and worship the Lord, Pharaoh increased their bondage. He quit sending them supplies to make brick. They were brick makers for Pharaoh's big cities and buildings. He quit sending them supplies, and they couldn't meet their brick quota, and then he started beating them. That's the record of the Scripture. That's very interesting. As you go to the psalmist, He said when God led them out of Egypt, there was not one feeble person. Now, there are over 600,000 men, plus women and children, that we can give record of in the Scripture. To say there's not one feeble, not one person weak, that word feeble particularly means weakness in knees and legs. It's quite an interesting word. But not one person weak, not one, can you imagine that? Not one feeble, not one tottering around. There was the young, there was the old, there was the workers that had been badly beaten, and not one was suffering. What in the world happened? Well, you're going to see exactly what happened when you go to this record. The remedy for disease, for suffering and pain, is found at the cross. It's found in the shed blood of Jesus. And in the Scripture, you'll see sin and sickness are intertwined. It's like a cord that is wrapped together, like braiding a hair. Well, when you come to this record, God told them to slay a lamb. That's in verse 6. Kill it in the evening. They were to put that lamb or goat up on the 10th day, keep it to the 14th day, and kill it. And then they were to put the blood of the goat on the doorposts of the house and across the lintel. And then God said, don't come out from behind that door. Stay all night behind that door. Stay behind the blood. Now, the reason was this. The destroyer is going to come through the land of Egypt and kill every firstborn. Everybody who's not behind the blood is going to suffer lack and loss. Now, why was it necessary for God's people to be behind the blood? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God because they're not innocent. And yet the blood is going to protect them from the sin, the judgment on sin that comes to Pharaoh and his household for refusing to come into agreement with Almighty God. But that's not all that happened. That's a wonderful thing, but that's not all. Now you look at verse 8. They shall eat the flesh in the night, roast with fire, unleavened bread, bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Verse 10, let nothing remain until the morning. It was to be totally consumed. Verse 11, you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. The Lord's Passover. Now, that's the important part because 1 Corinthians 5:7 calls, it says, Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. Who is the Passover? Christ is. So this lamb is a type of Christ himself. So what this lamb would do, Christ can do. When we look at the Old Testament, it's a type or a replica of what the Lord is going to do. That animal is not going to be able to remit sins or blot out sin, but he is going to be able to cover sin. If you have on a glove in the winter when we go to Moscow, we have heavy, heavy fur-lined gloves, and your hand is under there. You're very aware, because the weather is cold, 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 that your hand is under that glove, but the hand is covered. Now, the animal is only going to cover, but one day Jesus is going to come and blot out and remit and erase. There's going to be no record. Oh, thank God for that. These people are to stand behind the blood and eat the lamb. So you're going to see one remedy to shed blood, but you're going to see two things being accomplished through one remedy. One remedy for two things. One remedy for two things. Christ is our Passover. This lamb was a type of Christ. It's like making a dress. You don't sew up the pattern, though if you're not an excellent shrimp. Now, my grandmother cut her patterns out of newspaper and sewed away. Most people can't do that. Have to have the pattern. The pattern's not the dress, but it's a type of the dress. The lamb is not Christ, but it's a type of Christ. It represents him until he comes. So what the lamb, the four-footed beast, could do, Christ can do even more. How much more shall the blood of Christ? The Scripture says, how much, not how much less. See, tradition over a period of time has disintegrated the strength of the old covenant, has failed to bring it into the new covenant, and said God doesn't do that anymore. Then the blood of Christ is not as strong as the blood of the animal. And how ridiculous that would be, don't you think? Now, it says they were going to eat it in haste. They're going to be prepared for the journey. And when they leave, there's not going to be one feeble person. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. One remedy. The remedy is the blood. The remedy is the blood. They're going to eat the lamb. They're going to put the blood over the doorpost. In some documents I read, they dug a trench in front of the door. They not only put the blood over the door and on the side post, but they filled that trench with the blood of that lamb, so that they're actually completely surrounded by the blood, protected by blood. And yet they're ready to roll, ready to go, strong because of the blood. Because of the blood. Because of the blood. Now let's look at the Levitical sacrifices. Do you read Leviticus? I love these. Shame on you. We used to read our Bible through every year. I was raised in church, and about the time you get to the middle of Leviticus, you were finished for the year. You know how that goes? Now they have different methods which allow you to read some in the new, some in the old, a psalm a day or something. And those methods, though, I have my own method. Those methods are better, I think, than starting in Genesis. And by the time you get to Matthew, you're totally discouraged and confused because the Old Testament's clouded in mystery. And it was a mystery until the New Testament came and revealed the mystery. Christ came to unveil the mystery. So there is mystery there. Well, in Leviticus 4, 5, and 6, we have the sacrifice for sin. And there are different categories of sin, but the procedure is the same. They're going to take an animal. They're going to kill the animal. Now, let's just read one in chapter 6 so that you'll get the gist. Verse 2, if a soul sin commit a trespass offering against the Lord, lie to his neighbor. We're talking about a sin, a mistake, an error, a fault, or flaw. Isn't that right? In that which was delivered to him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, and deceives his neighbor, found that which was lost, and lies concerning it, and swears falsely in all of these that a man does, sinning therein, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty. Now this has nothing to do with disease, this has to do with sin. Now look at verse 6. He's going to bring the animal. He shall bring his trespass offering. That's not a surprise to us. Unto the Lord, a ram without blemish, because Jesus was going to be the lamb without blemish. Unto thy estimation, for a trespass offering, and the priest shall make an atonement. The word atonement is an Old Testament word that means sin covering. It means to cover. And this sin is going to be covered by the shed blood of the ram, the lamb, the bullock, depends upon the sin. Now, Leviticus 4, 5, and 6, there are a number. Look at the rest of this verse. It shall be an atonement for him before the Lord. It shall be forgiven him for anything of all he had done in the trespass therein. The forgiveness came through the blood. We know that. That's not a surprise to us. You have the same thing if you back up to chapter 5, verse 17. If a soul sin, commit any of those things which are forbidden by the commandments of the Lord. Verse 18, he shall bring a ram without blemish with the estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance wherein he erred, and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It's very interesting. We have a whole chapter of sins of ignorance. Still require blood sacrifice. You cannot use the excuse, well, I didn't know. The minute you know that you didn't know, you need to repent. The very minute. Now, all of these are blood covered. Blood covered. Sins, errors, faults, flaws, lying, deceiving, other things. But when you go over to Leviticus 14, it's the most interesting thing. We're talking about there's only one remedy. Anything you need from the Lord comes through one remedy, and that's the shed blood. There's one remedy for two things. Now, this is leprosy. Leprosy is not like a lie. Leprosy is a disease, isn't that right? Everybody recognize leprosy as a disease? Verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper. If you read this entire chapter, we won't read it all. You come down, first part is he's to bring two birds. I love this part. He's going to kill one bird, the priest is. Verse 6, the living bird, he'll take it with the cedar wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them in the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed. They kill one bird, and everything else, including the living bird, is dipped in the blood. Covered with blood. Now, we're not talking about a lie to a neighbor. We're not talking about deceiving your neighbor. We're not talking about breaking a commandment of the Lord. We're talking about leprosy. It is a disease. It is a sickness. But all sickness comes from sin. It's an oppression of the devil. It's a bondage of the devil. It's in our world because Adam opened the door for Satan, and Satan is here. When Satan comes, he brings everything he can do. He kills, steals, and destroys. If you open the door of my front house because of where we live, you might have in the morning a raccoon, an opossum, an armadillo, a snake. You certainly would have a house full of mosquitoes, maybe even at your house. Because when you open the door, everything comes through that door. When Satan came through the door, he brought anything and everything he was capable of doing with him. And when Satan was defeated, everything he was doing could be defeated. He came to destroy. Jesus did the works of the enemy. That's all the works, including sickness too. And if you believe what God has done, we'll work mightily and powerfully in you. Well, this is a disease. And now look at this, precious verse 7. We've got the dead bird. We've dipped the wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop, and the living bird in blood. He shall sprinkle upon him that's to be cleansed, that's the leper, from the leprosy, seven times. He's going to sprinkle even the leper with blood. He's going to sprinkle the disease with blood. Are you getting that? I get excited about this. I love this. And pronounce him clean. When was he pronounced clean? After the shedding of blood. After the shedding of blood. And let the living bird loose. When was the living bird loose? After the shedding of blood. When that blood bird was blood covered, he was turned loose. There was no freedom apart from blood. We're not talking about freedom from a lie. We're talking freedom from a disease. There are two things that happen in the Levitical sacrifices. There's a category of sin. There's a category of diseases. And all the diseases and all the sins require the sacrifice of an animal. Now, 8 days later, he's going to bring another animal, and that's in verse 10, two he-lambs. I want you to see verse 12. They're going to kill those lambs. The priest shall take one he-lamb and offer him for a what? You underline that, circle it if you're a marker person. A trespass. What kind? A trespass offering for a disease. Is that amazing? Absolutely amazing. Because disease and sin were both born of Satan. They have one foundation, and there's one remedy for these two things. One remedy for these two things. Now, if you go further, they're going to offer the trespass offering. Verse 14 and following, they're going to take the blood and sprinkle it on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe of the leper. This is where we get our song, probably from the top of your head to the soles to the tips of your toes. Now, after they sprinkle the blood, and don't get too excited just because I do, but after they sprinkle the blood on the ear and the thumb and the toe, then they're going to sprinkle the oil. First the blood and then the oil. First the blood and then the oil. First the sacrifice and then the fullness of the Spirit. That's what that represents. Verse 18, the remnant of the oil is in the priest's hand, can pour over the head of him that's to be cleansed. How full of the Spirit are we supposed to be? Any oil that's left, they're going to pour it right over his head. And the priest shall make an atonement, a blood covering. The word atonement always means to cover with blood. He's going to make an atonement, a blood covering for a disease, a trespass offering for a disease. And then further, he's going to offer, verse 19, the priest shall offer what? The sin offering and a trespass offering for leprosy. Because sickness is born and bred by sin. Now, there are two facets. It's here because of Adam's sin. You know, if somebody's painting a room and you go in to talk to them, you always come out with a spot of paint. You notice that? I mean, you didn't mean to. You bumped into a wall that was wet, or they turned around and splattered a little paint on you. It wasn't your intent. But paint was in the room, and people were painting in the room, and you just got paint on you, and sickness is that way. It's just here. You just might bump into it. On the other hand, if you go from man to man, you're going to get some strange disease, and you're not going to be able to blame that on Adam. Sickness comes because it's here. It comes because you sin. If it comes through your sin, you're going to know that. That's why we have that wonderful scripture in James that clarifies everything for us. It says, if you sin. So you call for the elders of the church, and they'll pray the prayer of faith for you, and if you sin, it'll be forgiven. Doesn't matter what you've done, how the disease came. In the blood, there's always forgiveness and healing. Two things. There's only one remedy. Two things. There's only one remedy. Now in chapter 15, we have some other strange diseases. We're not even going to read. I don't even want to know. I'm not a curious person. You read a couple of verses and you think, oh, forget it, Lord. I don't care what it is. It's a very slimy disease. But look at verse 14. On the eighth day, he should take two turtle doves, two pigeons, come before the Lord unto the tabernacle of the congregation, give them to the priest, and the priest shall offer them, the one for a sin offering, the other for a burnt offering, and the priest shall make an atonement. This is a man with an issue of blood. It goes on to explain the woman with an issue of blood. And they're going to make an atonement. They're going to offer a sin or trespass offering for a disease, because disease is bred of sin. You know, you can go into a room where they're painting and get paint on you. Or you can paint yourself. You can just get the brush, paint it yourself. Well, disease is here. Adam let it in. It is here. You might get a spot or two on you. But you don't have to go from man to man and paint yourself. Two things. There's only one remedy. It's, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It makes diseases go. Look at number 16. Let me show it to you one more time. Two things, sin and disease, working together, but the remedy is always the blood of the Lamb. Verse 41, you have the people murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Just as a side note, God doesn't take it kindly when you speak against those in authority. And you know, you're usually speaking against them to somebody that couldn't do anything about it anyway. Why don't you take your complaint to somebody that can solve it like Almighty God and say, God, they don't look right to me. I think they made some mistakes, and I'm going to pray for them because I know you're able to make them stand. And that would be a much better approach. But the people began to murmur and complain. Number 16. Then look at verse 46. Moses said to Aaron, take a censer, put fire thereon from off the altar, put on incense, go quickly to the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there's wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague has begun. Numbers 16. In verse 41, you have their murmuring. In verse 46, as a result of murmuring, a plague came. And what Moses is going to do to solve this, these people need forgiveness and healing. They need two things, forgiveness and healing. They're going to make an atonement. They're going to make a sin sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Now look, verse 47. Aaron took as Moses commanded, ran to the midst of the congregation. Behold, the plague was begun among the people. He put on incense and made an atonement for the people, stood between the dead and living, and the plague was stopped. The minute the blood was shed, the plague was stopped. The plague was, what does stop mean? I've only gotten a couple traffic tickets in my entire life. And the first one I got, I was driving to Bartow to pick up my daddy from work in our old car. And I, instead of it downshifted into first, I downshifted into second and rolled through the stop sign. I was about 16. That was my last roll through a stop sign, by the way. Because the policeman was sitting right there. I didn't see him. When you stop, you come to a complete full halt. And when that blood sacrifice was made, it says the plague stopped. It stopped. Now, the plague was making headway because it tells you how many people were killed there. 14,700 had already died. But what stopped it? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Two things, one remedy. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus, it makes diseases. Let's look at again Numbers 21. Numbers 21. It gets worse. One thing to complain against Moses and Aaron, but look what they did, verse 5. The people spake against God and Moses. Do you think that sound like wisdom to you? It was not. Verse 6, the Lord sent fire serpents among the people. They bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Now, that verse bothers people. It doesn't bother me at all. First of all, we go to the New Testament, where the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God doesn't kill anybody. Their sin, their murmuring and complaining. Murmuring and complaining opens the door for the works of the enemy. It is the one thing you must, absolutely must, avoid. Those serpents, according to Deuteronomy 8:15, had been in the wilderness all that time and nobody had been bitten. That's the miracle. That's the amazing thing of it. Nobody had been bitten. It describes the wilderness in Deuteronomy 8, and it says there was a terrible witness full of serpents and scorpions. And there they were in that terrible witness full of serpents, and nobody had been bit until sin. Because sin opens the door to the works of the enemy, and what Satan can do, he will do when the door is open. So the mystery is that they'd been there all the time, living with the shadow, under the shadow of the Almighty, sheltered by the God who's above all gods. When you live within that shadow, he's your fortress. He's your protection. And he had protected them until sin, and he could no longer protect them. In the Hebrew language, there are verb tenses we don't have in English. They have the causative and permissive verb tense, making it very difficult to take Hebrew and make it English. Now, if you're a scholar, you get Young's Analytical Concordance, and you can check this out for yourself. But because we lose the causative and the permissive verb tense, it makes God seem guilty. But God is not guilty. Go right back to John 10. Stand right there. No, the thief kills. God does not kill. Sin, it's like having an umbrella and pouring down rain and you didn't open it. If you'd opened the umbrella, you wouldn't have gotten wet. If they hadn't murmured and complained, those snakes would not have had any authority in their life. And it's just that simple. Now look what they're going to do. God said, verse 8, make a fiery serpent set upon a pole, it shall come to pass that everyone's bitten. Everyone that's bitten. Everyone's bitten. When he looks, shall live. We used to sing, look and live. Look and live, look to Jesus, now and live. I have a message from the Lord. Hallelujah, it's only that you look and live. Now he uses the serpent on a pole. The serpent is a type of sin. And they looked at that. The word behel and the word look here is not to glance. There are several words for look. It's to stare. You know, it talks in Proverbs and other passages about keeping the word before your eyes. In other words, you're staring, you're focused. And God wants them to focus on that serpent on the pole, which is a type of Jesus on the cross. Now, one way we are sure it's a type of Jesus on the cross is because Jesus used this very example in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. When he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again, he's not talking about disease. He's talking about the new birth. He's talking about being born from above. He's talking about spiritual death and eternal life coming by the blood. And he says, it's as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. That serpent here was lifted up for forgiveness and healing. In Nicodemus' case, he's only talking about the forgiveness. But it's the same symbol because there's only one remedy for sickness. There's only one remedy for sin. And it's the blood of the Lamb. And everyone that stares, you know that old song, I was looking back to see if you were looking back to see if I was looking back to see if you were looking back at me. You were cute as you could be riding in your Model T. It was plain to see. I'd enjoy your company. It means I was staring at you. That's the gist of all those words. I was staring. God said, if you'd stare at me, there's only one remedy for what you need today, and it's the blood of the Lamb. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. When you find out what Jesus has done, and you say, I know you forgive me. I know you blot out my sins. I know you heal my diseases, and I'm saying so. Amen. And in the Spirit, the strength of that word, because the word is mighty, begins to pour out into your body and make a correction and a change, amendment. Do what you need it to do. Oh, I like this. Well, let's want to see it again. Where you see sin and sickness, you see bloodshed. Where you see bloodshed, you see remedy. You see victory. Well, look at 2 Chronicles. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Hezekiah had become the king at age 25. He was a good king. His father Ahaz was a very bad king. When he became king, the temple of God had been ransacked, not been used. The sacrifices had not been used in forever. And he, first thing he did was declare that the temple would be cleaned out and all the vessels would be put back in order. So that's what you have in chapter 29. Now, after that was done and the temple was put in order in chapter 30, he declared a Passover feast. Passover. Now, who's our Passover? Christ, our Passover, sacrificed for us. He declared a Passover feast. Verse 16. And they stood, that's chapter 30, they stood in their place after their manner, according to the law of Moses, the man of God. The priest sprinkled the blood which they received of the hand of the Levites. For there were many in the congregation that were not sanctified. Now look at verse 18. For the multitude of the people had not cleansed themselves. Yet they did eat the Passover, as it was otherwise, and it was written. But Hezekiah prayed for them, and the Lord pardoned them. Now he pardoned them for taking the sacrifice without preparing the cleansing that was required by law. This is not a disease we're talking about. This is a mistake, an error. When he saw that, because they hadn't had the Passover in a long, long time. In fact, it had been so long. If you look at the verse 24, it says they offered. The king sent 1,000 bullocks, 7,000 sheep, and the princess sent 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep. So much sacrifice that they declared a second week, and they had Passover 2 weeks in a row. Very unusual occurrence to offer all of those animals. But when the people came, because it had been so long, and they came without the proper cleansing required by law, Hezekiah prayed for them, and God pardoned them. First the Passover, then the pardoning. But look what else happened. Down in verse 20, the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and what?
Healed.
Did what?
Healed.
Did what?
Healed.
So there's forgiveness, there's healing, but first there's the shed blood, the blood of Passover. There was no healing or no forgiveness till the blood was shed. Now look at Isaiah 53. There's only one remedy. It's the blood of Jesus. There are two things that always happen. Forgiveness and healing. There's a plan for the body, which includes troubled minds. There's a plan for the spirit. But the remedy in the blood you'll always find. Always find. Isaiah 53, you have that wonderful verse 5. He was wounded for transgressions. We believe that. We know that. We've seen him on the cross in our mind's eye. He was bruised for iniquities. The chastening of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If you watched the Passion, you saw them beat Jesus in the garden. You saw how much blood was shed there in the place of judgment. And then you saw them take him to the cross. You saw the blood shed from his hands and from his side when they stuck the spear in. And so you have those two instances of great bloodshed. First in that place of judgment, the bruise, and then at the cross. You see what? What do you see? What do you see? But only one remedy. Now, if I were beating you to death, which drop of blood is important to you? The one I came from your head when I hit you in the head and drug you out of your house? Or the one that came out when I continued beating you in the woods? Which is more important to you? Huh? He was wounded. Now there's those people who say this is spiritual healing, not physical healing. Oh, baloney. If you can't spell that, you didn't see the commercials on TV. It's B-O-L-O-G-N-A, isn't it? There isn't any such thing as spiritual healing. It says all our righteousness is as filthy rags. It says none righteous, no, not one. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You didn't need any spiritual healing. You had to be made new. If you got spiritual healing, healing is the restoration of the tissues from a diseased condition. That means you're part new. If you're healed, you're part new and you're part old. If your stomach's healed, you've got some new things going, but you got the things that were working well still going. So you've got some new things and some old things. But if you have new things and old things going on in the spirit, you're still headed to hell. That's why you have to be made new. You have to become a new creature with a new nature. So here you see how many things? How many things do you see here? But what's the remedy? Oh, the blood of Jesus. Sing at the cross, where I first saw the light. The burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. So we need to have some sight to see there are two things. There was a plan for the body, which includes the mind. The chastening of our peace includes the mind. And a plan for the spirit. But the plan and the remedy is the cross. Two things. One remedy. Now look at Psalms 103. Let's see it again. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. I like Hebrews where it talks about eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. Eternal. If any of this has passed away, redemption was not eternal. Well, how dumb would that be? Hebrews says it was eternal. Eternal redemption. And how much more shall the blood of the Lamb? It was eternal. It was perpetual. It was forever. So these two things are still happening. You know, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. If we follow much of the church world, we'd say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not this one benefit. He forgives our sins. They don't even know they're a new creature. Don't know old things have passed away. How sad the church world has been in part. But there are many things mentioned here. Of these two things, verse 3, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and who what? Healeth all thy diseases. How many things do you see there? Who redeems thy life. When there was redemption, redemption was eternal. And what's eternal is still working today, or it wasn't eternal. That makes sense, doesn't it? Now look at the words of Jesus, Matthew chapter 9. I'm so happy, and here's the reason why. The truth always makes me happy. Oh, it makes me happy. This is Matthew's account. It's all, I think the story's found in Mark and Luke as well. This is the man they let down through the roof, although Matthew doesn't tell you that. You have to go to the Mark account to find that out. But when they let the man down through the roof, he was paralyzed. He couldn't walk. And Jesus first thing said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee," verse 2. Now, it wasn't for forgiveness that he came particularly. It was healing. He wanted to be able to walk. When they said, he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven," there was great criticism. Jesus said the most marvelous things in verse 5, I love it. What is easier to say, "Thy sins be forgiven," or "Rise and walk"? Now, which is easier, do you think? I can forgive you, but I can't heal you anymore because healing's passed away. Or I can heal you, but I can't forgive you anymore. Jesus said, which would be easier for me? Which would be easier for me? Which would be easier? Which would be easier? You think it's going to make any difference? You think one's easier than the other? You think the God who can blot out your sin and not even remember? Can't heal diseases? Or the God who seals diseases? Can't blot out sin? Which is easier? Easier. Easier. See, there are two things happening. There's a work for the body, a work for the spirit. But there's only one remedy. Only one remedy. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It makes diseases. Now look at it again, 1 Peter 2:24. My, the proof, the scriptural proof is abundant. Thank you, Father. For salvation full and free, thank you for the blood that was shed for all of we. Thank you, our Father, for forgiveness and healing both from thy divine hand. Bring us understanding. Verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree. That's the cross. That's the death. Often those animals, the Old Testament animals, were sacrificed live. The altar had horns, four horns on it. They tied that animal down. When you see that animal tied down, now those animals didn't volunteer. You go, Mabel. You've seen the cows that talk to one another on the commercial, and one speaks French. They were selected because they were without spot and blemish. They were kept secure and brought to that place of sacrifice. When you see Jesus on the cross, that animal nailed and tied to that altar is a type of Jesus tied to that cross. Who his own self bare our sins, but he was a volunteer. Being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. You see again two things through blood. Two things through that cross. The cross was the place of sacrifice of blood, and there's always two major things that happen through blood. There's the forgiveness or remission of sin. There's the blotting out. There's a new creature within. There's eternal life in the very nature of God. And there's healing for sickness and disease. Every time. Two things, one remedy. Two things, one remedy. Do y'all know how to play volleyball? Let's play volleyball. I'll throw the word to you, you throw it back to me. Two things. Two things. Two things. Two things. One remedy. Two things. One remedy. For two things. Some of y'all never played volleyball before. This is my favorite kind of volleyball. Doesn't hurt any of your muscles. Now look, 1 Corinthians. Oh, thank you, magnificent Father, for the plan divine. Thank you for eternal inheritance. That in you, by your blood, all is well and all is fine. Thank you. Now you'll see this quickly. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, verse 23. I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. That's the same as by his stripes we are healed. After the same manner also he took the cup when he supped it, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, not the blood of animals anymore, in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Every time we take communion, how many things do you see? How many? How many? How many? How many things did we see at the Passover? And the Levitical sacrifices. And the prophecy of Isaiah. And the record of the psalmist. And the word of Hezekiah, who declared a Passover. And the words of Jesus. And every single time you take communion, you declare the fullness, the grandeur of God's sacrifice. Now let me show you. This is the most important verse. It's verse 26. Put your eyes on verse 26. As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, eat the bread and drink the cup. How many things is that? You do show the Lord's death till he comes. The word show is to demonstrate or proclaim. How many things does it take to demonstrate and proclaim the fullness of the Lord's death? How many things? If you're going to talk about all that was done through the death, you've got to have two things. One remedy. For one remedy for amazing, isn't it?